Can we hear anything? Do we hear anything? Are we recording? It is making a very weird sound. Oh, there it goes. Okay, how do we stop it? There's volume. There's rewind. There's end search. Where is turn off? It doesn't turn off. Cute. Okay, well, let's just go ahead then. Are you there?
Mm-hmm, I'm here.
Okay, now, you're going to have to move closer. And I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to see if we can... if we can make this work. No, it's really got to go from the side. Okay. Do you think you can hold this? Keep it over to the side. The tiniest little sound I can hear. So you have to hold it like this, and you have to keep it like that way to the side. Okay, but hold it with your two fingers. If you hold it like that, I can hear that.
Okay.
So just hold it with your two fingers. Okay, a little bit over to the side. Okay.
How is it like this?
Oh,
how does it sound?
That sounds good. Let me turn it up a little bit. Okay.
Okay. You hear okay?
Yeah. Move it back a little bit. Turn it this way. And it should be right about there. Okay, now try it.
Okay.
Oh, that's perfect.
Wonderful.
That's perfect. Okay, where were we?
We left off how my parents met and where they came from. That was that.
Oh, you finished?
I'm finished.
Oh. No, I don't think you did. I'll have to listen to those tapes.
Well, my mom and dad, they never met.
Told me they had a terrible marriage.
Very, very bad marriage from the start.
Yeah.
That my dad never appreciated my mom. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she wanted to get a divorce so bad. But till late in life, she told me that the reason she didn't is because she has a lot of brother and sister. She's the oldest one, and if she get a divorce, that means nobody will come and marry her brother and sisters. And so she stayed married to my dad till they came to America. She finally get a divorce, and it was an ugly one too.
Okay, tell me about leaving Cambodia and coming here.
Well, we tried it twice before we could make it here. The first time we left, I think it was 1979. We, when the Vietnamese took over, when they won Cambodia from the Pol Pot regime, they told everybody that they can go to live anywhere they want. They can go find their relative, family, parents, brothers, sisters. Because during the Khmer Rouge, they separated people from their family. Like my family, they send me far away, or my brother far away. They separate by age. Certain age, go to certain camp. And so when the Vietnamese took over Cambodia, everybody was scattered. The family was all separated, and they said, you can go find your parents. And so I was by myself, and my two brothers was together, so I was able to come first.
Tell me first, what was the journey from your parents to the camp like? Tell me about the camp. What do you remember of it? How old were you?
I don't remember exact, but I think I was 12. 12, 13, 14, because the war lasts almost 4 years. And I was 15 then when the war broke. Yes.
We need to go back even a little bit further. When we last talked, you were about 5 or 6. or seven, and you were taking care of?
Of my little brothers and sisters.
While your mother went out?
Earn a living.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. She has to go spend a night at another town, and in order for her to wake up early enough to go buy vegetable and meat, that she can get good deals. And if she don't spend a night there, she can't get there in time to get good deals. And she would bring it to our village and sell them. And that's how she earned her living. And then later on, she met this family that sell lottery tickets, and so my mom stopped the grocery business and go into sell lottery tickets for this this guy, this family.
But there were problems with that.
There was problem. Like a policeman, they would come and bother her. And then she reported to her boss, and her boss would report it to the captain, and then the captain would tell the policeman not to go bother those people because they are under protection, in a way. They have to kind of like bribe them. It's not by law that you pay them, you get protection, or it's kind of bribery. And so nobody come and bother my mom anymore after that, and she can sell lottery freely.
So you lived where?
We lived, that time was in a little village in Cambodia, and it's a new town too, called Bai Lan.
What do you mean a new town?
New town, that territory is way, way, way deep to the forest. It's next to Thailand. And there's no houses been built there, no people live there yet. So it's a brand new town. You have to cut down trees and build houses. And people go there because they can find rubies and gold.
And your mother?
And my mom, she couldn't make a decent living in where she used to live, which is the capital of Cambodia, Phnom Penh. And then she moved to the second biggest city in Cambodia, Battambang. And there, it was hard to earn a living, too. And so when she heard about a town just got established and thousands of people rush over there, it's kind of a comparison like the California Gold Rush. A lot of people go there, and so she went there. And when she got there, all of us got sick. Because a brand new town and it's not break in yet, so it's kind of like, and a lot of mosquitoes, so people get malaria. How you call it?
Malaria.
Malaria, yes.
And so, but you stayed there for how long?
I lived there most of my life. Yes, the longest town I lived in Cambodia. I was born in Phnom Penh, and then we moved. I was born there, and I lived there for like a few months. And then we moved to Battambang, and we lived there a couple years. And then I spent the rest of my time there before the communists took over.
Mm-hmm. So you were living there comfortably, and then what happened?
I don't really remember the hardship, but when I remember a lot of good times there. Good time like, my mom was able to make enough money to let us have some money to spend. We could go to the market and buy snacks to eat, and we couldn't do that before.
So it was better?
It was a lot better, yes. Like about a couple years before the communists came, we became very wealthy. Matter of fact, and like it's only like 3 or 4 richest family there. My family is one of them. My uncle's family, the other one, and the other two of their friends. And they pretty much control the town. They control the political people, you know, like excuse me, like a certain age, and if you're a guy, they drop you to the army. My brothers don't have to go. because my parents buy the official hop, things like that.
So then what happened to change all that?
What you mean?
Well, life changed, right?
No, right changed when the communists came.
And what changes did you remember?
Well, I was happy. I didn't know anything. They came, they give big parade, and a lot of the people in town welcomed them, and they promised a lot of good things. They said they would take the money from the rich and give it to the poor and divide it by evenly. Now, nobody is poor, nobody is rich. Everybody's equal, have the same amount of money. So I was happy. It's not that mean we were poor, but I was just happy because the whole town's happy. Party all the time. The town would activities would go all night before a certain time. I think I was like eight, nine, something like that, or 10. You know, I have to get that straight because I don't remember. I got to find that out about my age during that time. So they promised us a lot of good things, and then, not long, only like a few days later, they said, well, you know, we want to clean up the town. And in order to do that, we have to have everybody move out of town just for a few days to clean up the they call it the enemies, which is the old government officials, like soldiers and stuff, policemen. They want to, that's what they said. They said everybody have to go. And then a couple days later, they said, okay, now only the people who don't own any land, any farm, that have to go. The people that own lands and farm, they can stay. And so people would go rush and buy farms, buy land. And then it keep changing day to day. Finally, they said everybody have to go, but only just for a few days. You don't even have to lock your doors. And most people, they don't take anything with them. All they take is money and material things, you know. They would drive their cars, and that they thought that they'd be back in a few days, but they never return. And most rich people die first because they didn't take anything. But amazingly, my mom, for some reason, she knew. She didn't take anything that she didn't take things that that's not usable. She took a lot of food, rice, salt, and sugar, and sewing needle, and lots of blanket and clothes. That's all she took, and she took some like gasoline, you know, to burn at night. Yeah, she took a lot of that. And it came really useful.
And where did you go?
And so we went, keep going. We have no destination, nothing. They just told us, you just go out of town. And as we pass each town, that town has to go too. So everybody been pushed back to the forest. You know, like the main street, the people that live there, they push it back. And we are from the other side, so we go straight and push back also. And some people would go find their relative, like in the capital in Phnom Penh, which is a really big mistake. Those people die first, no food there. Because there's no trees, no fruit tree, nothing. People push to the farm, they still have banana trees and things like that, fruit tree. That's how they survive a little bit longer. They eventually die also. So my mom and what happened, we were lucky for two reasons. My mom had knowledge. Before all this happened, she had a dream. That's another long story. She had a dream that said exactly what's going to happen in Cambodia. And they told her, in her dream, they told her not to take anything. just take a thing that you can use, that you can eat, and do not go anywhere near the city. Try to go somewhere where they have a lot of fruit trees that you can plant vegetable. Go there and where plant a lot of rice. And in her dream, this old lady told her that that section of the country that people live the most, the rest mostly die. And so anyway, and then
now your mom has who with her? She has you.
She had all of us.
So tell us who she had.
Okay, she had me, my two younger sisters, my two older brothers,
and her. So there's six of you.
And my dad. Now my dad and his family, and his sister. Family have four kids, so, and then his brother have eight children, so we all hang together. My mom, she doesn't like that, but that's how my dad is. Everybody together, all his family, they wouldn't separate, so we would stay together. So his family wanted to go to the capital. My mom refused to go, said don't go, because just stay around the farm area. You go down to the city, there's no tree, no food to find. And so anyway, so they keep pushing, the Khmer Rouge keep pushing the people to go forward. And my mom refused to go, and that's very hard to do, because they have to sneak, sometimes they have to walk backward. You know, instead of but thousands of people walking on the street, so they can't really keep track. So instead of go forward, they walk backward, and they camp there. You know, they would make excuses. Oh, my kids are sick, or I lost. We are waiting for certain people. Always give them excuses. So when finally, my dad's and my uncle's friend, they.
Closer. You got to keep that closer.
Okay. My dad and my uncle's friend, they own a big plantation next to Thailand. And so he said, okay, everybody go to his farm. So it's not just my family. A lot of other families that they're friends, and mostly are Chinese people. So he took us in. He let us stay in his farm. And we were very thankful. Without that, we would push all the way, we got nowhere, you know, where we ended up.
How long did you stay there?
We stayed there for like about, gosh, I don't think it's more than 6 months.
And then?
And then we stayed there, we built hutches, you know, tents, and we built little houses there. Stay there until we get situated, till we heard from the Khmer Rouge what they want us to do. And so most of the land there, the Khmer Rouge took it. So now it's not really belong to my dad's friends anymore. They took it all, and now they divide it. They give it to each family a certain amount so they can plant rice, potatoes, to make it self-efficient.
And so your family.
My family. We plant some potatoes, and we lived there for 5-6 months, and then I need to get that straight too, and I can ask my mom; she would remember better. After that, then they said, "Well, you Chinese people live here still don't know the hardship." They said that the rest of the country, they have really hard life. They have to go to work, and you guys, you know, don't really have to go to work. Only go plant a little bit of land that provided by our government. And they said it's no good. You guys have to mix with the other races, you know, not just Chinese and this plantation. And so they said, we have to go. So they kick us out again. So now they kick us out to a cotton plantation, which is about 4 miles from where we used to live. The cotton plantation is by the freeway. So we went to live there, and now they told us to go to the mountain. There's 3 mountains there. They told us to clear all the mountains and plant cottons and corn. And that's what we did. 3 mountains, all the tree, everything's gone, and completely replace it with cottons.
How many of you did that?
So many thousand. I think probably about 5,000-6,000 people.
How long did that take about?
Oh, I think we lived there about a year.
Mm-hmm. So that did they give you food while you were there?
Not enough. At first, we would have plenty to eat. Their government changes all the they changes too. Even though they said Khmer Rouge, but they have two parties. Mm-hmm. One party is better than the other. The first party was good, and then they change it to another party, and then that will make it very, very difficult. You cannot have your own stove. You cannot own dishes or spoon. You have to go eat in the, they call their own cafeteria. And they said, we do not need to own anything. Everything put as a community. So we don't own anything. We're not allowed to build a fire for anything. We don't need to because they beat us. And so the first few months was okay, and then they changed their government, and then things got very, very tight. They don't beat us enough. And every 4 o'clock in the morning, we have to wake up and stand in line, and they would call us names sometime, call us name to see if we are there. You know, sometimes people would oversleep, and sometimes they call your name. That means they're gonna kill you. They call your name, take you somewhere. They said they take you to a rehabilitation camp, and you never come back. Those are the people that they said had a bad history, according to them.
Any of your family?
No, fortunately, no. But they did call my mom out of the line one time. It scared the heck out of her. That was very tight. That time, I think that was almost at the end of their government. The Vietnamese almost took over. They called my mom, and my mom said, "That's it." Then, you know, because that's what it is. When they call you out of the lineup, that means you're never gonna come back. And so, but in my mom's case, they didn't make it clear to her, you know, and they tried, and my mom wouldn't believe them anyway. They said, no, my mom go talk to them and said, you know, tell me honestly, am I going to come back? You know, where am I going? They said, don't worry about it. You're getting old, so we just take you to a second kind of workforce. They have a first workforce that works so hard, you know, and then second workforce, you kind of a little bit lay back. You don't have to clear up the mountain, but you plant rice. And so they sent us, my mom, to another town, like about 2 miles.
With you kids?
No. That time they separated us already.
So you stayed with your father?
No. They separated us like all the girls in certain age, they took us to a different camp out of the town. My 6-year-old sister, they took her away too from my parents to live in there. All six years old girls. And the 6-year-old boy, they would live in a different camp. Everybody's separated by age. And I was like 10, so they put me in a different camp, and my 2 brothers in a different camp. So we all separated.
And what was the camp like? What was it like to live there?
Oh, very difficult. They work us like slaves. We couldn't say nothing. if we want to survive, keep our mouth shut. Whatever they want us to do, we do. No complaints.
And what about the girls that you lived with?
The girls that we lived with, some are good, some are bad, meaning that they would report whatever we talk to them.
To the
Khmer Rouge.
Mm-hmm. And then what could happen?
Well, it could result in death, or it could result in punishment, or your life would be harder. And they hold your meal, they wouldn't let you eat.
Can you remember one situation for you yourself?
Yeah, I remember one situation, but they didn't hold my meal, anything. I was lucky. One time, this lady, she's a Khmer Rouge, and she happened to like me, and she wanted to make me into like a supervisor, watch 10 people. And I remember that I have a lot of envious people, and they would say bad things about me, you know. And so, but I was so young, I didn't know anything. I do what I'm supposed to do, what they want me to do. But they, and that.
How did you know that people were envious?
They would, every night we have meetings. Before we go to bed, they have meetings. They would, okay, now, you know, tell everything to Angka, that's their government. And so they would say things about me. They would complain about me.
You mean the young women in your...
In my age.
Mm-hmm. And what would happen?
But nothing. Nothing happened. They say anything. I was so scared. I was, whatever they say, I agree with them. I don't fight with them. Because I kind of knew that because I have light skin and they prejudice just because of that, because of who I am. And they automatically think that I have a good life. I mean, easy life. And they don't like that. They don't like rich people.
The Khmer Rouge.
Yeah, the Khmer Rouge. They don't like people who's educated. Or they automatically think that we are rich because we are Chinese, and we're not. You know, we work really hard for what we have. So anyway, they complain about me, but nothing become to it, you know.
Do you remember a friend? Did you have a friend there?
I had two friends. They are sisters.
What were their names? Do you remember?
The younger sister called Soy. She's in California now, married and have kids. Oh, that's my phone. I need to go answer my phone.
Okay. I don't know how to stop this is the problem. Oh, that much.
I'm going to give it back to you, everything you lost. My God, I told him everything, what we have, even more.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good story, yeah.
And they...
Wait just a minute. Let me see if I can hear this.
And that's how they find out about people, that what they have and how their lifestyle before they came. And
I cannot. Let's see.
Now, the one that you have, you know how to use it, and it's good, you like
the
it.
The other one, yeah.
Yeah, because I want to buy you one, if that's what you like.
Oh, well, let me find out what I really want then first. Yeah. It didn't record, damn it.
Okay, why don't I give you $100?
No.
Yeah, and you find what the...
No, because I don't know yet. What If I get one... Wait just a minute. Now try.
Is it working now? It is good distance.
All right, I'm going to try. Keep talking.
Okay, is this a good distance?
No, a little bit further Right about there.
Okay,
that's
so,
perfect.
All right.
Right there. Okay, now we're going to start with your being in, is it Phnom Penh you were when you were little?
Yes, I was born there, but I don't live there. Just only like a few months.
Just keep on going. You lived there with?
I lived there with my parents.
Your parent, tell me their everybody's names and ages as much as you can.
Okay, my mom, her name is Siu Ang Goh. That's her maiden name. And she's 63 now. My dad, her name is Ju Yang Tang, and he died about almost 8 years ago. And my brother Cole, he died about the same time my dad did. And he would be 45 now. And then my other brother that lives with me right now, he's 45, something like that. Mm-hmm. Chiu, and then myself, Lee Chang, and I use my initial LC, and I'm 43, and I don't have a man.
And when's your birthday, Lee Chang?
June 13, just passed. Okay.
Who else?
And then I have a few more sisters that are younger than me and brother, but they died now. Okay, his nickname is Di Kia. He doesn't have a real name yet. And then I also have a sister. He died when he was 5 years old.
From
pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
From lack of taking care of him. My mom was too busy earning a living, and he go to a river and play and all day, and he gets sick. Yeah. And then the doctor overdosed him
with
shots. Mm-hmm. Give him shots and oh.
Hello? Yeah.
My mom kept saying that how powerful they were, because most of their soldiers are kids, like 12, 13 years old, and they would carry a gun, and the gun is so big that they couldn't even carry the gun, you know? I mean, the gun was dragging to the ground when they carry them, but yet we were so afraid of them. Nobody would have any idea to try anything. You know, to overturn the government. Nothing.
Now it's working, of course. I don't know why it had stopped. Maybe I don't know what I did.
Oh, life, when they took us away.
Turn this way towards you.
When they took me away, I was living in the camp. Oh, it was so unbearable.
Well, now, let's get to that. Well, maybe it's on the other tape. I don't know whether it is or not. We're on number 6 now somehow, so maybe I've saved all of these. I don't know. I'm going to have to...
That's all right. We go back and forth.
Yeah, but go ahead and talk about where you were. When they took you away, how did they explain it to you?
They said that we have... everybody is independent. You do not depend on your parents. Now Angka will take care of you. Anything your parents say or does against Angka, you come report to us. They turn all of us against our family.
Would you ever have done that?
No, never. It never even entered my mind, even when I was in that young age.
So where were you? Did they come into your house and say, okay, now your mother is going to go here and you are going to go here?
No, they had meetings. Okay. They everybody have to go to a meeting. And so go to a meeting, they would say, okay, they know how many children you have, how old they are. They have records of everybody. And they said, okay, all the girls this age, has to be here at this square tomorrow morning. So everybody have to go there. Some, you know, could get away with it by, say, you know, sick or, you know, always excuses. But most of us have to be there. So we were there and they said, okay, now you go to live in this place where it's only girls your age. And that was about 10 minutes walk from my parents' live. Okay? For that, and we stayed there for quite a while, and then they sent us far away to, like, take 2 days to get there to where we were, and that was hard. They sent us deep in the jungle to clear up trees.
Did you walk, or did you drive in trucks?
They put us in a big truck, you know, like the truck that they carry dirt here, gravel, those kind of truck, you know, like have no roof, whole bunch of us in there. And then to a certain point where they drop us off there, we camp there overnight, and then we walk the rest of the way. And it take sometime certain places we have to go clear. It take like a 2-3 days of walk to get to the destination. Mm-hmm. And we would chop down tree. We would build irrigations. And now their theory is also that even I'm a girl, I get the same amount of yard to dig than healthy man, big man, because they said that you eat the same amount as men, so there's no reason for you to get less. So most of the time I fall behind, and sometimes my neighbor would help me. You know, the people who assign next to me, they would help me.
Some of the people.
I do, but I don't know where they are now.
No, but do you remember any of their names?
No, not at all.
Do you remember people?
I remember some of them. They helped me, and sometimes I would get next to people who are mean. They even though I cannot do it, they cannot help me, and they don't even have an inch. Everything have to be exact, you know. And they wouldn't help me. I would stay late. I would try to get there earlier than anybody, to start early, because if you not get done, you cannot come home.
And you're 12 years old about now?
12, 13 years old, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you stayed doing that for how long?
Oh, gosh. Well, not that long, because the whole Khmer Rouge regime's only 3.5 years. So I move a lot of places in that 3.5 years. So I don't stay in one place for a long time. 3-4 months.
And then the most. Would you go back to your family? Or?
No. They said, okay, you're allowed to see your family when you have deaths in your family. And New Year's time. And now they change all that too. Their rule, they change all the time. They said, when your family gets sick, you don't need to go, because you can't do anything anyway. You're not a doctor.
This thing, it moved from 3 to... I can't even tell. Okay, talk for a minute.
Okay. They said, why you have to go? You're not a doctor. You can't do anything. Angka have doctor for them. You no need to go.
Or I can't figure it out. Okay. We're going to just have to stop.
Oh, that's fine.
Until I can figure this out, I just don't...